Federal staff prosecutors in the Senator Ted Stevens case have been harshly criticized by a special investigator. The case was so badly mishandled that Attorney General Eric Holder was forced to ask the court to vacate Stevens' 2010 conviction. So what does this mean for the department, and what should happen to the staff prosecutors? For answers, we turn to Stephen Ryan, the government strategies lead at McDermott, Will and Emery, who spent 4 years as a federal prosecutor. Steve, great to have you back.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
All right, so how do you classify what the prosecutors did? They withhold evidence that would have cleared the senator. Is this a simple mistake, or was it professional malfeasance?
No, it was a pretty serious error. The Public Integrity Division, you know, had a very significant case with Senator Stevens, and the mistakes here are not typical mistakes that can be overlooked as an inadvertence. It was a very serious mistake.
All right, so the special investigator has said that he can't tell what their motivations were other than they simply wanted a conviction. What do you do with people like that committed that kind of practice?
Well, this case is a terrible tragedy. Obviously, Senator Stevens was convicted, and then one of the young prosecutors has committed suicide. So, you know, the human tragedy of this case is profound in many, many ways, and the careers of all of those who are on the government team are severely damaged and maybe destroyed. The 500-plus page report addressed the issue and looked at the intention of why the materials were not turned over. And lawyers in the criminal justice system have a requirement that's called the Brady Rule, that you turn over anything that's exculpatory of the defendant. You have to turn it over. And then there's a second rule called the Jenks Act that says you have to turn over the statements of witnesses, and both of those were violated. But the report concluded that really it didn't appear that they were intentional violations in the sense of directed at aggrandizement, but it was simply in an effort to win. And so the department does have to decide. At this point, they appear that they're not going to take formal action against people in terms of prosecution.
Yeah, I believe what I read coming out of the congressional testimony was maybe not intentional, certainly illegal. What sort of precedent is there? First of all, put this in historical terms. Have these sort of things happened at the Justice Department before? And then how has justice dealt with that?
Well, in every case that public integrity brings, you're bringing it against a public official in some measure, a Blagojevich, a Stevens, the congressman from Louisiana, whose name I can't remember right now, you know, who had the money in his freezer. And so in every case, the defense is you're being targeted improperly, that you have acted improperly. When you're a Department of Justice prosecutor in a very senior kind of case like that, you're always subject to these allegations. It turns out they're true in this case. Public integrity has lost a number of major cases, and I think there's probably a total revision of the structure of the group. It's a group that has to be independent of politics, but it also has to be under sound management. And I think there's probably a lot of activity going on behind the scenes to cleanse the public integrity section. Some of these cases are brought by U.S. attorneys. So the Blagojevich case was brought by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Illinois. And so there are multiple places that these public integrity cases are brought.
I guess it's fair to say this one probably was nonpartisan, since the whole event took place during the Bush administration. This all came to light, and the special 500-page report came out under Attorney General Holder, but he was not Attorney General when it happened.
That's right. And, you know, if you go back to the 1980s, a lot of the Democratic leadership were taken out by the Justice Department, and there you had a Republican Justice Department taking out Democratic leaders, and that constituted, a more edgy kind of activity that, you know, I think of Bill Gray and Tony Coelho and other Democratic leaders who were taken out by the Justice Department. In Abscam, 7 of 8 of the members were Democrat who were targeted. So, you know, there's always a hint of political activity, but in this case, in the waning days of a Republican administration, they took down an iconic Republican senator. So at least in that sense, that issue was not on the table. This represents, by the way, an example of the Public Integrity Division being, in essence, insulated from the political equation.
We're speaking with Stephen Ryan, a partner at McDermott, Will & Emery. And by the way, that was Congressman William Jefferson who had the cash in the freezer. By the way, we checked on that while we were talking with you. I wanted to get back to Senator Stevens himself. He's kind of forgotten as a man in this whole process, but you knew him.
Yes, he was a senator on my committee. I was lucky enough to be chief counsel of a Senate committee for Senator Glenn, and Senator Stevens was a member of the committee, and he certainly was a senator. He was very well respected by his colleagues, and he actually worked across the aisle. He and Senator Inouye had a remarkable partnership as head of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, and I think it worked very well for the members on both sides of the aisle that the two of them really ran defense appropriations for so many years.
And just getting back to Attorney General Holder and how he reacts to this, he, of course, has an internal investigation, which he's been saying that he has, but we don't know what they're going to find. What would you expect him to do at this point? Because he probably doesn't want to make it look like he's purging the department. On the other hand, there are a lot of people clamoring for the removal of the people still there. How would you handicap what might happen?
Well, the people who have been involved in this case undoubtedly are in windowless, doorless, telephoneless, and airless rooms while this is going on. So they've been effectively purged from effective involvement. But, you know, we have to rebuild the image of the Public Integrity Division. You know, it was a serious violation. When you get down to it, the Stevens case was a very marginal case. If you compare it with Blagojevich, you had a guy who was selling a United States Senate seat that happened to have been for the President of the United States. It was sort of a coarse, gross activity. The allegations in the Stevens case were that he received, in essence, gratuities related to his house and things of that nature. It was, frankly, just not as serious a case. And I guess one of the lessons might be that Public Integrity brings the cases about the $100,000 in the freezer or the sale of a United States Senate office and overlooks cases that are marginal, like the Stevens case.
And these are all certainly cases that, as the public, we want the Justice Department to bring. But I'm wondering, and perhaps I'm playing a bit of a devil's advocate now, these people who are directly involved have been ostracized, but what does it say about sort of systemic breakdowns between them and their supervisors, for example? Because this violation is something that's very basic. You know, young lawyers learn this in law school, that they have to turn over exculpatory evidence to the defense. So what, you know, being a former prosecutor, what do you expect to happen in terms of the system?
Well, you know, certainly the object lesson of this is that your career could be, you know, destroyed, annihilated in a single case. And all of us knew that as young prosecutors. And I think we all tried to live up to that, the duty that we had to do justice as opposed to just win. But it's a lonely feeling to walk back into the United States Attorney's office having lost a case. You don't want that. And so I think that's the pressure that was discussed in the 500-page report, the pressure to win versus your duty. And I think the case has been one that shamed the Justice Department, which has itself a long and glorious history. And so when that happens, I think, you know, people do internalize the loss in that way.
And it'll be interesting to see if this has a ripple effect through prosecutors' offices throughout the country. Stephen Ryan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much. It's a delight. Thanks.